I met Vincent, and that's what the family calls him, at Harlem Hospital in 1947.
This is Marguerite Cordes. Her husband, Dr. John Walter Vincent Cordes Jr., recently died. When they met, she was working in hospital administration. He came as an emergency room fellow pursuing a residency in surgery,
which was difficult to get for a black Afro-American. Young doctor wanting to go into surgery. There weren't many places he could get trained.
The highly regarded Harlem Hospital's Department of Surgery was headed by Dr. Lewis Wright, one of two African Americans to matriculate from Harvard's medical school in 1915. Another highly regarded, if controversial, African American surgeon was also on staff, Dr. Aubrey Maynard, who will play an important role later in this story.
I wasn't taken with him. He was very sober-looking and, okay. But a few weeks later, he came and said, would you like to go to the theater? And boy, my antenna went up. Theater, yes, of course.
They would go with Dr. Cordes' cousin and his cousin's new wife to see Finian's Rainbow.
A few days later, he came in and he said, would you like to go out Friday night to the show? I said, sure. Well, we went to pick them up, and they came. We were in a cab, and they came down from the hotel and got in the cab, and they said, oh, good, you brought Marguerite again. It turned out that he had bought tickets for four shows, and he had taken two other young ladies for the other two shows. From then on, we were a team.
They began with only a roll of lifesavers. But through his work, Dr. Cordes was soon awarded residency at Harlem Hospital. A year later, he and Marguerite married in New York, racing out of town in their silver-blue Buick Roadmaster toward his boyhood home, Durham, North Carolina, that same evening.
A policeman pulled us over for speeding, and the policeman pulled him over and said, where do you think you're going? And he said, to North Carolina, I'm going down to see my folks in Durham. Just got married, and it's with my bride. And I had the orchid on, the going-away costume. And the policeman said, you got married? You're in trouble enough already. I'm not going to give you a ticket.
10 years later, September of 1958. Dr. Cordes would find himself speeding from Orange, New Jersey, to Harlem Hospital. This time, it is his daughter Shelley sitting beside him. From here, where I am saying this, we can see Dr. Cordes racing to ensure immeasurable gains in social justice. It is harrowing to imagine his failing, for the patient awaiting him is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a letter opener sunk into his chest.
Remember that ride?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
This is Shelley.
I didn't say a word. I just held on tight, and we went. Driving on the shoulder of the road, weaving in and out of traffic.
The two didn't know to whom they were racing, only that someone was in need.
This is how he responded to everyone. The indigent fellow coming in the emergency room got the same level of care as a paying patient.
As Shelley recalls from when she would accompany her father on house calls.
I'd sit in the kitchen and the lady of the house would give me milk and cookies and he'd be in the bedroom with the patient and we'd come out and I remember there were times when, I guess it was his payment, a painting or something they had, they didn't have money, he saw them anyway.
Dr. Cordes' trip to the hospital began long ago. He grew up in an intellectual center for African Americans at the time. Yet,
from the public school system, they never got new books. Oh, no. Their books had always been used by the white schools. Yes. And I think the first time it really hit him, he said he was sent. There was a book that I don't remember just what class it was. I'm sorry, I can't remember what it was for. But the teacher needed that book, and they were going to borrow it from a white school, and he was sent to pick up the book, and he said when he went to that library, he was just amazed the size of the library and the number of books and how beautiful it was. And they had one little room with a few shelves of books.
So
And this is when, you know, the effect of being, when racism raises its head. And he said it, he just, why?
In the North, racism was institutionalized. Dr. Cordes had to go to France for his training in thoracic and cardiovascular surgery despite his excellent reputation as a surgeon and as a researcher. It was upon the completion of his training and return to Harlem Hospital that he was called in to save the life of Dr. King, which he and his colleague and friend Dr. Nicolario did. However, if you dig through the archives, neither Drs. Cordes nor Nicolario is credited. Instead, Dr. Maynard, whom I mentioned at the beginning of this story, is cast as the hero. Indeed, Dr. Maynard was the chief of surgery, and he did remove the letter opener. But Cordes and Nicolario designed and performed the surgery, though neither was credited until this century.
It bothered him more, not because he didn't receive the credit for it, but because it wasn't accurate. When he did the surgery and he dictated that report, it was accurate. It was just the way it was done. And that report went in the records. It had to be right. And that's what bothered him.
History has a way of forgetting people. We all know this, and we mostly expect it. But talking with Marguerite, I learned that even for those who will be remembered, history erases, reducing lives into slight moments. Dr. Cordes saved many lives, broke many barriers, boogied at jazz clubs, had spats, loved to play Scrabble, at least until he could no longer beat Marguerite. But he will likely be remembered for just one night. The result is that Marguerite is wary of talking to journalists, wary of diminishing lives into a single moment. On this day, set aside to celebrate a great man, it is important to celebrate all life, especially life that falls outside of history.
We had some wonderful friends, very dear friends. Well, we had so many wonderful friends. In fact, he was in the service with them. They had a place out on North Fork of Long Island, and they had a boat. Every week, every Saturday, the four of us were on the water fishing. And John and I could stay all day. Della too, but Vincent, if we're not catching fish, listen, fellas, maybe we ought to head back in, don't you think? One more spot. And I would always catch fish, always catch fish.
Happy Martin Luther King Day. For FM 90, I'm Mark Munger.